So this is the first time I've been on our stage this year, so that's great. And I just have to ask, well, not ask, but I appreciate your grace last year. It's very dear to me. I've been at Whitehill for a long time now, and Marion and I love being part of the family here. But because of changes in my work, it took me away last year a fair bit because I've been serving the churches out in the Western Queensland. So from Gatton to Cunnamulla, Stanthorpe to Kingaroy and out to Blackall. And I cover those spaces during my Monday to Friday, and that often takes me away. So in that catchment is about 16 churches, and I think I've missed three in the last six months. So I'll endeavour to catch them up in the first quarter of this year. But it takes me away often on the weekends to speak and share and be in these spaces, and I thank you for your grace extended to me in that space. And I appreciate it. Summer series we've been on, and when Anthony spoke to us a couple of weeks ago, those of you who are here, about the exiled nation of Israel, out with Babylon, stuck between what was and what was to come. Looking back on the old, looking forward to the new, and I can't match, for those of you here last week, I can't match Rod's kid's story. It was a great kid's story we had last week, didn't we? Despite that workplace health and safety concerns. But I loved his tree. So that was great too. And Rod spoke about a character in the Bible called Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus also was in that tree for a reason, wasn't he? He was looking back at what he was and looking forward to an inspired future in Jesus. And so he was between the old and what was and the new. And we're going to talk about that a bit more this morning. This old and new has a phrase and a word, and it's called liminal space. So liminal space is the in-between, between the old and the new. And it's defined like this. Liminal space is the time between what was and the next. It is a place of transition, a season of waiting and not knowing. So it's a big word. Liminal space is the time between what was and the next. It is a place of transition, a season of waiting and not knowing. And as I thought about this, we actually experience this quite a bit. Some of us are still experiencing it at the moment. An example of it is holidays. So when we're on holidays, we've taken a break from our normal routine of life and work and school, and we're in a liminal space. We're in an in-between what was a busy time or a busy season to the next busy season that we enter into. And all of us are still experiencing that. Who's still on holidays? Oh, bless you. Engagement is another example of liminal space between what was and what is to come. My son Toby is getting married in May this year. So he got engaged to his Bianca. When did he get engaged, love? Last year. So what was a single man and what is to become a married man? So he's in that liminal space. God bless him. And so as parents, we're helping him make that transition as smoothly as it can be, moving into that sort of arrangement. Christmas and New Year is another transition, isn't it? Often we take a bit of downtime at Christmas, New Year. We have our summer series. It's like a summer semester at university, isn't it? Between careers, some of you might be between jobs. You still might be in the old job, but you're actually looking to the new job. You might have finished one season in one space and looking to start a new season in another space. So you're in that space between what was and what is to come next. Pregnancy, I thought, was a good example. Interesting pregnancy. Between the creation of that new human being, that precious, valued person, and the conception and growth until the birth of that newborn child that many of us have had the privilege of holding in our arms over time. And so the space between what was and what was to come next. And so as we explore these spaces, it can be uncomfortable, it can be frustrating, it can be irritating, it can be not long enough sometimes living in the between if we're on holidays. But it also can be enjoyable, freeing, full of anticipation and expectancy. A whole host of feelings before. And I think The motivation for me thinking about this morning was Christmas, the coming of the Christ, God with us, and his final time where we reside with him and God forevermore. But there's another dimension to liminal space. It's not only about what was to what's next, but actually something happens in those between spaces. And it says this, liminal space is where all transformation takes place if we learn to wait and let it form us. So all liminal space is where all transformation takes place if we learn to wait and let it form us. You know, for those of us that are apprenticed to Jesus, we're in that transformation space, aren't we? We've had the promise of Christ, the promise of a new creation. We're between what was and what is to become, the fulfillment of our transformation into the very likeness of Christ. That's exciting, isn't it? That is just brilliant, as our nature is transformed to be like Christ. And so all of us that are followers of Christ are living in that in-between space. And as we prepare for that space, it's important to do one thing. And it's this prayer here from Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So prayer is very important. And we're going to spend some time this morning on a prayer that Paul had, another one. Let's pray before we open our word to that prayer this morning. Heavenly Dad, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy, and for your love. We thank you that you are a God that pursues us, and it was just so great, Father, to join together collectively in worship in song this morning, to give you adoration and praise. We do indeed give you that praise, Father, for you are a great God who would have us changed and transformed into the likeness of your Son. And we just pray as we open your word this morning, Father, that Holy Spirit, you might open our hearts and minds to what you might have for us to receive. In your loving and precious name, amen. So if you've got your Bibles there, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And I tell you now, I've got a confession, I've bitten off more than I can chew this morning. Because I've sat with this scripture for quite a few weeks now, and as I read it, it just becomes more and more, rich in its meaning. And what it is, it's a prayer of Paul to those Christians around the region of Ephesus and in the early church. And it's a prayer of encouragement, it's a prayer of worship. And in verse 3 there, it starts out, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us." Oh, next verse. "So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ." So we see here a phrase of blessing God the Father. But there's a next part to go, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because for Paul, Jesus came, and with his death and resurrection, Jesus then became the central focus of the salvation story, didn't he? And so he's central to what we're doing. And we've been in that time of worship and adoration this morning. And there's a little word in there that says, "in us in Christ with every spiritual blessing." So blessed us in Christ. And that's a little word that we see throughout this passage in. Now "in" means, for example, David fought Goliath, didn't he? But the Israelites took the victory because they defeated Goliath in David. So through the triumph of David, the Israelites were victorious. And so in Christ, through Christ, we have the blessing. And that's a bit of a bird's eye view of the gospel story. I won't spend much time, but just as a sidebar, let's just have a quick look at those "ins." God has blessed us in the King, verse 3. He chose us in him, verse 4. Foreordained us through him, verse 5. Poured grace on us in him, verse 6. Gave us redemption in him, verse 7. Set out his plan in him, verse 9. Intending to sum up everything in him, verse 10. we have obtained our inheritance in him, verse 11, because we have set our hope on him, verse 12, and have been sealed in him with the Spirit as a guarantee of what is to come. We're getting the picture that Christ is at the centre of that, isn't it? Christ is our being all in. Our identity is found in him. Let's read from verses 4 to 14. I'll start at the top of verse 3 again for us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. What an outstanding prayer that is, isn't it? And its richness is quite overwhelming. But I'm going to take three questions for us this morning. First of all, what is our identity in Christ? What is our intent in Christ? And what is our inspiration as we deal with what was and what is to come as followers of him? How do these relate to sustaining us in that liminal space? The first one we're going to look at is identity in Christ, verses 4 to 6. And there's some key words here that I've highlighted for us to reflect on. So just as he chose in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. Holy and blameless. Holy and blameless. So holy is to be set aside, isn't it? And it says there that he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, there's a bit of a mystery surrounding that and some different ideas of how that plays out. But it's a mystery I'm happy for God to hang on to and hold. But the key is we're holy and destined to be holy and blameless. And how does that come about? Because he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ. Isn't that extraordinary? The God, the creator of heaven and earth, who's put this complex planet and its people together, wants us to be blameless and holy and would have us adopted as his children. And how is this possible? It's through, we go on in verse 6, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness. You know, I'll actually go there. Genesis chapter 1, at the beginning of our Bible, and the last half of it says this. And this is a picture of God with us and what life was to be and is to be in the future. And it says this in verse 26. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image. Now, make humankind in our image, that's a little bit of a departure from the other cultures that were around at the time in this Jewish God. Because God made us in his image. Whereas most of the nations around Israel at that time were making God in their image. It's a small point, but a pretty important point. But I won't spend too much time on that. Let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness. And I'm going to switch to the message here. Make them reflecting our nature so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle and earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of the earth. God created human beings to be, He created them God-like, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them. Prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge, be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air, for every living thing that walks upon the face of the earth. And so we see here God's picture of humanity in its true state. And it's a wonderful, blessed thing, a space where we flourish and thrive as human beings. Holy, blameless, sons of the living God, daughters of the living God, redeemed and forgiven to live into that inheritance. It's a stunning picture, isn't it? Created to be image bearers of the living God. I need sunglasses up here this morning because you're bearing the image of the living God back to me in all its fullness. So the first thing we need to realize about this is our identity is discovered in Christ as a child of God. The second thing in verse 7, it takes on and looks at our intent in Christ. What is our purpose? What is our intent behind this? With all wisdom and insight, He has made us known to the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure that He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. So God's mystery was to put things back together. So we find in the person of Christ, the God-man, heaven and earth coming together. And if we look at the Old Testament, we see the tabernacle was the same thing. The presence of God was there with His people. It was heaven and earth come together. And it goes on to say that in verse 10, there is a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. Jesus taught us how to pray, and as part of that prayer, He said that things happen on earth as they do in heaven. That the relationship and connection between heaven and earth be restored for all time in a new heaven and a new earth. And that's what we're living from, what was and what is to be. That's the liminal space we occupy. And our purpose in that space, in Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes the things according to His counsel. And will so that we, who were the first to set our hope in Christ, might live for the praise of His glory. So our purpose is living to the praise of His glory and sharing this story with those who don't know it. For me, it gives me deep purpose and meaning to understand who I am. It gives me deep meaning and purpose to understand I'm an image bearer of the living God. My purpose, and that's one of the mysteries again of God, I don't know why Jesus left it up to us, eh? But it's to share that story and that truth so that each of us understand the true and full intent of the mystery of God's will and His plan for us. You know, we're to proclaim the good news, aren't we? We're to teach people how to do what Jesus did until He come. And He said He would be with us all times in that. And that's our true purpose until the new heaven and the new earth and the reign of God is restored. Because Jesus is now reigning at the right hand of God, isn't He? Daniel 7 tells us about that. The kingdom has already come and is commenced, and it's been left to us to bring that about. We're a worldwide movement to change this people and its planet. A worldwide movement to create community. A worldwide movement to change people's lives through love. One person at a time, one family at a time, one community at a time, one planet at a time. And finally, verses 13 to 14, our inspiration in Christ. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people. So marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. So all of us that declare allegiance to the living Christ, who declare allegiance to his kingdom, have been gifted with the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus residing in us, working through us, that gentle, deep voice whispering in our hearts and minds to empower us to be a people of love, changing relationships and community around us as we endeavour to fulfil our charge. Marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, isn't that a great phrase? Just a great phrase. The pledge of our inheritance. So we've got the down payment, we've got the confidence to say that this is the truth through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, directing us, should we so desire, to listen to his insight and wisdom. Toward redemption as God's own people to the praise of his glory. So in conclusion this morning, I'm going to do two things. I'll read a summary here, and then we're going to go into a time of communion. But I'll read this summary first. So we need to remind ourselves often who we are because of whose we are. We need to understand who we are, people. Makes a lot of sense to me, doesn't it? And I'll tell you what, after a number of years following and trying to be an apprentice of Jesus, I'm just so grateful I understand who I am in Christ. I've found it releasing. I've found it freeing. I've found it reassuring. And I hope and pray that's been your journey as well. We need to remind ourselves often why we do what we do. Our intent, our purpose, is to share that story of what our identity is, that we're the image bearers of the Creator God, destined for good things to reign forever as adopted children with Christ. And finally, we need to remind ourselves often how we do what we do through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask the helpers to step forward for me, please, for communion. And we're going to pass out the bread and the wine. If you love the Lord, you're welcome to join us at the Lord's table this morning. So take the bread, and as you take the bread, feel free to take that, and then we'll hold the cup and drink that cup together. And while you're sitting there waiting, you can start serving, that's fine. And once we're holding the cup and the bread, as you take the bread, I'll read this passage again for you. You know, we've got lots of versions of the Bible, don't we? Oh, thanks, Josh. And they give us a freshness, don't they? And I'm going to read this from another version as we contemplate these wonderful truths this morning of who we are, what our purpose is, and what our inspiration is. And it goes like this. How blessed is God. And what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. Had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah. His body broken, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, where a free people, free of penalties and punishments, chalked up by going our own way, resolving in our misdeeds. And not just barely free, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he's working out in everything and everyone. It's in Christ, you know. Once you heard the truth and believed it, this message of our salvation, found ourselves home free, signed, sealed and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This signet from God is the first installment on what's coming. A reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. Let us drink together.